Before we start, let me show you a video clip about these two guys going into the streets of Israel and asking randomly to people they met, who was Jesus?
Reveal yourself as...
It was Jew, and Sababa is for Christian people, and the son of the God of the, for a Christian.
The Christian, God for the Christian, even though he was Jew.
He was Jew, that's it.
But he's God for Christians.
That's another story.
Do you know who Jesus is?
I know who Jesus is, yes.
Do you know the story of Jesus?
Yes. So basically the Christians believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and there's a whole thing about like a rebirth. He's dead, he comes back, then there's the
crucified.
Crucified, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Have a great day, man.
Yeah, what do you know about him?
Jesus is the son of God, son of Virgin Maria, and I don't know what is the past.
Do you believe that's true?
I believe that it's true. I want to believe that it's true. That's more accurate.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Can I pray for you? What's your name?
Shira.
Shira, can I pray for you?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Shira. Thank you for her open heart and her wonderful smile and her kind nature. Lord, I pray that you continue to open her heart to you and that you can reveal to her who you truly are and that her wish to know you can come true in Yeshua. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow. Achrat.
Wow.
Actually, prior to that, two people that was interviewed, there were around three people that were asked. They don't know Jesus. Amazingly, very few knew Jesus in Israel. But our destiny does not depend on what others say about Jesus, but what we think and say. Perhaps that is the question you may want to answer yourself, which is in our gospel reading today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we are able to be here today to hear your words. Open our eyes to see, in our ears to hear the truth in your words, that we may be sanctified, for your words is truth. Amen. In our gospel reading today, Jesus and his disciples were in the district of Caesar Philippi. This place is located 40 kilometers north of the Sea of Galilee, near the borders of modern Lebanon and Syria. And this is the northernmost place Jesus took his disciples. While in this district, Jesus wants to know what those people in the area think of who he is. So he asked them an easy question. What do people say about the Son of Man? Well, some say John the Baptist. They answered. Others, Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Their answers are fairly good answers to a pretty easy question, isn't it? Because they are just sharing what they have heard rather than what they believe. This wouldn't be a difficult question for any of us to answer, or anyone else, for that matter. To those who have heard and seen Jesus, may have understood something important in thinking of Jesus as the prophet. But their answers, comparing Jesus to one of these prophets, seem not appropriate as far as Jesus is concerned. Though he did not say that they are wrong, but he knows where their answers came from. He wants other answers that do not come from flesh and blood. Turning to his disciples, thinking he might get the right answer, and said, "Who do you say that I am?" Before going to Peter's answer, if Jesus himself were to ask you that question, how would you answer it? Is your life reflecting the answer? What do you believe about God in Jesus? The answer will set the course of your life because it matters more than anything else in the world. Then Simon Peter, maybe being the spokesperson of his disciples, answered, "You," referring to Jesus, "are the Messiah, Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Notice that immediately after Peter's answer to the question, Jesus pronounced the blessing to Peter and said that his answer did not come from him, but a revelation from God the Father. Clearly, Jesus wanted an answer that is a revelation from the Father and not from the flesh and blood. And that's what probably why Jesus initiated the conversation, so that Jesus, upon hearing the revelation from the Father to Peter, Jesus said to build his church on the rock. Jesus is the anointed one, the Messiah, the one sent by God to fulfill God's plan and produce and build up the church. The church is built on nothing and no one else except Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the very first time that Jesus uses the word church in the Gospels. The word church means the congregation, you, us, and the assembly of believers in Christ, and not buildings or properties. right after mentioning the church, the Lord also mentioned the gates of Hades, which are Satan's authority or power of darkness. These gates of Hades attack the church to frustrate the Lord from building up that church, which is the enemy. In fact, he identified it as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour and makes him or her practice sinning. They are rulers, authorities, cosmic powers in this present darkness, and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, and comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Throughout the ages, there must have been a denial of the existence of the real devil. Yet the proof of his existence is everywhere. The results of his works are indisputable, hiding the reality of his existing is one of the cruelest hoaxes he has ever perpetrated on men. But not all are deceived. Many great men Men of God have seen his works and testify to his reality. Some of them were Billy Graham had this to say: all of us engaged in Christian work are constantly aware of the fact that we have to do battle with the greatest warfare ever known, supernatural forces and powers. The devil follows me every day. He tempts me. He is a very real response to me. There is a connection between the devil and the increase of drugs, pornography, sexual license, and the occult in the United States. We see people who are committing all kinds of violence and mass murders, and we have learned they have been involved with the occult. Pope Paul VI of the Roman Catholic Church declared, "The smoke of Satan has entered the temple of God through the fissure in the church." Evil is not merely a lack of something, but an effective agent, a living spiritual being, a terrible reality, mysterious and frightening. Evan Roberts, the great Welsh revivalist, wrote, "The devil's great purpose for which he fights is to keep the world in ignorance of himself, his ways, and his colleagues, and the church is taking sides with him when siding with ignorance about him. It is impossible for man to walk in 100% obedience to God and his word using his own human strength. Man was required to walk in obedience to the law of God, set forth on Mount Sinai under the old covenant. But man was unable to do it, and he lived under the curses that were pronounced upon those who were disobedient. If you are struggling to obey God and live in accordance with his word, in your own strength, stop. It is impossible in your own strength. You can do it. However, God has made it possible under the new covenant. The new covenant is not based on your ability to live your life in 100% obedience to God. God has placed His Spirit within you, giving you the power to obey Him and keep His commandments. God promised, "I will put my Spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances." This is the reason why the Son of God appeared, was to destroy the works of the enemy and for us, as members of His church, ensures victory. In every aspect of our lives, He gives us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever we lose on earth will be lost in heaven. What are we supposed to bind and lose in our lives? The word bind means tying or chaining, while the word loose could also be translated as untying and to set free. Examples of which are: we bind and loose ourselves and relationships. We bind and loose ourselves to our jobs or to our calling. We are to bind ourselves to the Word of God like a soldier binding armor. We lose ourselves to addiction, worldly passion, doubt, or unbelief. I bind the strong man and spoil his goods. We bind Leviathan in all proud spirits arrayed against our life. We bind every plan, every wile, and every strategy that the enemy has planned for my life or for the lives of my family this day. Your plans will not come into fruition, and I hope I lose all the goodness of you, Father, have planned for my life this day. I bind the enemy and every angel that was kicked out of heaven from interfering with your blessings coming into your life. Jesus says, "Whenever two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst of them." Perhaps we bind ourselves to God when we participate in worship and in classes in small groups with a community of faith. Today we have believed about Jesus matters. Today what we believe about Jesus matters more than anything else in this world. In the midst of all that we are going through in our world today, we confess once again our faith and trust in Jesus, believing with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength that He is the Savior of our world. the Son of the living God, who promises to calm our every storm, who offers us a peace that surpasses understanding, who is eager to hear our every prayer, and who assures us that he will be with us even to the end of the age. Our life-giving words made us citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God, that gates of Hades will not overcome it. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus declared this: all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's Matthew 28, verse 18. He also said, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. That's Luke 10, verse 19. He further said, as my Father has sent me, even so I sent you. That's from John 20, verse 21. Here is the purpose of, purpose for which God sent Jesus to this world. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This is the same purpose for which we are sent. We are to destroy the works of the enemy. We do it by the same method Jesus said, Jesus used. Glory be to God. Amen.